Okay, we're on Lamed Amid Aleph, 18 lines from the bottom. It says Itmar. Okay, the Gemara was discussing the time of Bezdin, that they blew on Shabbos. Did they blow only in front of Bezdin? Did they blow anywhere else while Bezdin was sitting and so on? So the Gemara was discussing. So now the Gemara concludes, Itmar Nami, so we learn Taka. Amr Abchiyah. Ibn Ami Taku, we learned Amr Abchir Bagam, the Amr Abyesi ben Shalom Rabbi, and taken a cold Mansha Bezdin Yoshim. The only time they blow Shofar is at the time the Bezdin is sitting. And as the Gemara said before, not necessarily only in front of the Bezdin, but only during the hours where Bezdin is sitting. Because Bezdin only sat until noon. So as long as Bezdin is sitting, you're allowed to blow in all these places on Shabbos. After Bezdin got up and left, then you're not allowed to blow anymore on Shabbos. So boy, Rab Zeda has to shayla as follows. What happens if Ninadu Lamid? So they got ready to get up. In other words, they're already closing up and they're about to stand up to leave. So is that considered still while Bezdin is sitting? Or is considered if Bezdin's already leaving? So he says, V'layamadu, they didn't get up yet. Now what's the din? Do we say Bezdin Yeshun Be'inan? Do we say you need Bezdin to sit? V'ikan, the fact is Bezdin is sitting. The bottom line is Bezdin is sitting. If Bezdin's sitting, they're still sitting, so you're allowed to blow Shofar. But it says, Eidoma, do we say, is man Bezdin be'inan? We need the time of the actual Bezdin when they're paskening dinim, and they're having dintatus. But Lakan, in this case, there aren't, because they're already closing up for the day. So the Gemara says, what is the concept of Bezdin? The Gemara says, is man Bezdin when Bezdin is sitting? The Shaila is, do we mean Taka Bezdin is sitting? That means literally they're sitting, so if they're sitting, you can still blow Shofar on Shabbos. Or do we say, no, when Bezdin is sitting means when they're working. And here they're not working because they're getting ready to leave, so then you can't blow Shofar. And the Gemara answers, Teiku. In Teiku, the Gemara doesn't know. Then the Gemara says, said in the Mishnah, they say, it's Yerushalayim, you say it al Yavna. The Gemara said, the Mishnah said that Yerushalayim they blew on Shabbos, in the time of when the Bezdin, Beis Hamikdash was with the Bezdin. And in Yavna, when the Bezdin was exiled from Yerushalayim and ended up in Yavna, they also blew on Shabbos. But the Mishnah said there was a difference between Yerushalayim and Yavna. Yerushalayim was, not only in Yerushalayim they blew Shofar on Shabbos, but any place was able to see Yerushalayim was also included as part of Yerushalayim that they were able to blow Shofar. And in Yavna, only in the area of the Bezdin itself. So it says, Ve'edos Yerushalayim, you say, Yavna Yerushalayim was greater than Yavna. That means if you can see or hear or anything like that, they blew Shofar. So the Gemara explains, when the Mishnah says the expression that if they saw Yerushalayim, Prat Yeshev is Benachal, excludes a town resting in the valley. Because if you're in the valley, you can't see it, because you're too far down. Shemaz, so that you can hear, means Prat Yeshev is Benachal, that if you're sitting on top of a mountain, even though you're able to see far away, you're able to see Yerushalayim because you're high up, nevertheless, you can't hear Yerushalayim. So now the Mishnah is saying, in order to be part of Yerushalayim, you have to see and hear Yerushalayim. Kreiva, it had to be close to Yerushalayim. Prat Yeshev is chutz l'tchum. That if the city was outside the tchum, meaning outside 2,000 amis, it was also not part of Yerushalayim. V'chelelov ain't able to come, meaning prat l'mavtikli nahara. That if there was a river separating the city, so then you couldn't get there on time, because you can't, especially on Shabbos, you can't go across the river. So then the din is that you couldn't do it. Okay.
Where is Yavne in relation to Yerushalayim?
Geographically?
Yeah. I don't know.
I have to look at the map. I don't know.
But I mean, is it miles and miles, or just...
It was away, yeah. After the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Bezdin went into Golus of 10 places. The last place it ended up was Tveria. But along the way, the Gemara says they made certain takonis in the city of Yavne. There was the city of Usha, where they were. The last place the big Bezdin of 71 ended up before it became completely dismantled was in the city of Tveria. That's where the Rambam writes that when Mashiach comes, the Bezdin is going to start off back in Tveria, and from Tveria then they're going to go to the Beis Hamikdash. It's going to start where it ended. The last place was Tveria. But Yavne was, in fact, in the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, When Rabbi Yechamed Zakei said, give me Yavne v'chachameha, because Yavne was the center of Torah at that time, because that's where the big Bezdin was. But where is it in
the... I think 2 or 3 weeks ago we talked about being able to hear the shofar from Yavne and from Yerushalayim, and I thought they were either very close to each other or that far away.
No, there was not speaking about Yavne from Yerushalayim. It's about any place able to hear it from Yerushalayim could do it. Any place that was able to, well, not from, but Yavne, not like that, though. Okay, now the Gemara, the Mishnah goes off from the concept of Shofar to Lulav. And the same Mishnah is in Sukkah also. It says, Berishayna, originally in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Hoya Lulav Nitol B'Migdash Shiva. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to bench Lulav and Esrik 7 days. Medina, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Yom Echad, only 1 day. Because if you look in Chumash it says, only Lekachtam Lechem B'Yom HaRishon. As far as the Torah is concerned, you only bench Lulav and Esrik the first day Yom Tov. That's it, biblically. So the Mishnah is saying that in the Beis HaMikdash, they did it 7 days, all 7 days. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they only did it the first day of Yom Tov, and that was it. Then, when the Beis HaMikdash became destroyed, here's Kan Rabbi Yechman Zake. Rabbi Yechman Zake made a takana she'ayu lulav nitol b'medina shiva zechel l'migdash, that they should bench lulav and esrig 7 days to remind us of what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, when the Beis HaMikdash was existing and they had 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, that was fine. So then you go what the Pasuk says, ulakachtam l'cham b'yom harishon, only the first day. But now that there was no Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yechman Zakeh made a takana, we should do lulav all 7 days. In fact, that's why, even today, we bench lulav 7 days, but nevertheless, it's 7 days midrabanan. Because only the first day is minateira, and the other 6 days are midrabanan. And another takana that Rabbi Yechman Zakeh made, she'ayigayim anav kuli osir, that the whole day, or literally, yom anav is the day of waving of the Omer. Because the Pasuk says, they had to wave the carbon Eimer. What's the story as follows? In time of the Beis HaMikdash, they were not allowed to eat new grain until they brought the carbon Eimer. What's called, now they have this Chodosh and Yoshin thing. That's really from a long time ago. So, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to eat, now don't forget that there was only 1 day of Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, okay, in Beis HaMikdash. So the 15th of Nisan was the first day of Pesach. Then the Torah says, "Lekachtam lachem mochas haShabbos." You have to take the day after Shabbos, meaning the day after Yom Tov, meaning on the 16th day of Nisan, they brought the carbon omer, which was from barley. That carbon omer permitted everybody to eat all the new grain that came, but until that was brought, you're not allowed to have the grain. So then, what happens when there's no Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says that there's even when the time there's no Beis HaMikdash, the day itself permits it to be eaten. That's why those people that keep Yoshin today don't eat the new grain until the 16th of Nisan.
When do they stop?
Huh?
When do they stop eating it?
No, once the new grain comes in the season. The new grains come at certain times.
Right.
So then they don't eat it until after the 16th day of Pesach. This is called Yoshin, the old grain that was from, was permitted from the 16th.
There's no set time when it's starting.
It depends which crop. I mean, different crops come at different times.
That's
anyway, so the Gemara says that in the Beis HaMikdash, so after the Beis HaMikdash, so technically, as soon as the 16th morning comes, you're allowed to eat the new grain. That there's no Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. But Rabbi Yechman Zakeh made a takana, the Gemara is going to explain why. Rabbi Yechman Zakeh made a takana, the whole 16th day is forbidden. The whole 16th day is forbidden. You have to wait until the 17th or the 16th at night to be able to eat the new grain. And the Gemara is going to explain what this is all about, why he made such a takana. So now, the bottom line of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yechman Zakeh made a few takanas in remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, we shouldn't forget about the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, Minolan davdin and zechel HaMikdash. From where do we learn out in Chumash, in Torah, that you have to do things to remember the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe the Beis HaMikdash is gone. It's gone and finished. I mean, where do you know that you have to do things to remember the Churban Beis HaMikdash? So he says, Damakra, because the Pasuk says, Ki ala ruchalach, I'll make a cure for you, umay makoseich, and from your wounds. At boyach, I will heal you, no mashem da Hashem says, Ki nidacha karulach. For they, the Ebishter says, why will I take care of you? Why will I heal you? Because the goyim call you the pushed away one, the discarded one. Because they don't have a base in Migdash. And it says, Tziyani, Hashem is complaining, so to speak, and saying, Tziyani is Tziyan, Deirish Enla, nobody is interested in seeking her out. Mm-hmm. So you see from there that the Deir is complaining that nobody seeks out Yerushalayim, Tziyan. So therefore, that we see from there that you're supposed to do things to remind us of the base of Migdash. So therefore, Rabbi Yechman Zaki made various takonis about the base of Migdash. And then he says, one of the takonas Rabbi Yechman Zake made was that the whole day of the 16th should be forbidden to eat the new grain. So the Gemara says, my time. What's the reason why Rabbi Yechman Zake said, because according to the Torah, as soon as the 16th morning comes and there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can automatically eat the new grain. So why did Rabbi Yechman Zake make a takona that the whole day is forbidden? It's a very interesting reason. The Gemara says, because Meheria Yibana Beis HaMikdash, immediately the Beis HaMikdash will be built. You see, he also believed the Mashiach, Rabbi Yechman Zake. He says, Meheria Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And the Mepharshim explained that because he's saying the Beis HaMikdash, he has to say a Tefillah Meheria. It's like, it's interesting, in the Parah Aduma, in the Hilchos Parah Aduma, the Rambam mentions also that there are 9 Parah Adumas. Okay? 1 Meshe Rabbeinu made, the 2nd Ezra made, and all of them, the whole bunch of Parah Adumas made in the 2nd Beis HaMikdash. And then the Rambam writes, V'asiri, the 10th Parah Aduma, will be made by Mashiach. And he writes, Meheri Yizgali should be revealed right away, and so on and so forth. So the Rambam, when he mentioned about Mashiach, mentions a whole tefillah that it should be rebuilt and come, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says also, the Gemara says as follows, Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash will be immediately rebuilt. V'yemru, and now that the Beis HaMikdash is built, so now the people have to wait for the carbon to be brought. Right? Because now the carbon is there. But people will think, and they say, Yishtaked last year, Mileachalno Beheir Mizrach, didn't we eat it as soon as the sun came up in the east? Mm-hmm. In other words, what happened is as follows. Today, this year, Lamashu, people are going to eat as soon as the morning comes. So next year, we'll already have a Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. And they'll have to bring a carbon. We wouldn't be allowed to eat the new grain until the carbon is brought. But people won't know that. So they'll think, oh, last year we ate it 6 o'clock in the morning, so we can eat it now 6 o'clock in the morning too. And the truth is, you have to wait until the carbon was brought. So therefore, they said, "Ishtakim elachano be'er mizrach." Didn't we eat the new grain as soon as the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as the day came? So achshav naminech. So now we'll also eat the 6 o'clock in the morning. V'le'yadon, the people won't realize the Ishtakad last year lohaya emed, there was no carbon emed. So therefore, if there's no Beis HaMikdash and no carbon, heir mizrach matir. As soon as the sunshine came up in the morning, then it would have already permitted it. But hashtadika emer, but now that there's a carbon emer matter, only the carbon emer is matter, and not the fact that the day came. So the Rebbe Mezakeh, it's a very far-fetched takana, you should know. The Rebbe Mezakeh said, we're afraid that by next year the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and people will make a mistake, so therefore for the entire duration of Golus, you can't eat it until the day of the 16th passed. So the Gemara is in fact going to ask, so do it midday, because by midday for sure they brought the carbon. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now, the Gemara asks a simple shaila. The Mivnas Amos, when is this carbon, when is this Beis HaMikdash going to be rebuilt? Okay, the Gemara says as follows. Ilemet the Ivne B'Shitzer, if you're going to say it's going to be built on the 16th, meaning not before the 16th of Nisan, so then the Beis HaMikdash surety, I mean, the day came in the morning. And that's why I said, like, let's say for argument's sake, Sunday is the 16th, just to make it easier. Okay, Shabbos is the 15th, Sunday is the 16th. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takoni, you can't eat daimed the whole day of Sunday. Why? Because last year's Sunday at 6 o'clock in the morning, you ate it, and now you have to wait for the carbon name. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. When was the Beis HaMikdash built? Sunday afternoon. Beis HaMikdash is going to be built Sunday afternoon. So Sunday morning, they didn't need the Beis HaMikdash. As soon as Sunday morning, 6 o'clock came, the sun came out, they should be allowed to eat the carbon name. The new tefillah. Because there's no Beis HaMikdash yet. So that wouldn't be a problem. Ella, we must say, the Ivnes B'chameser. It was built on the 15th of Nisan. Or earlier. Rashi explains, it doesn't mean only on the 15th, it means or earlier, that they had not enough time to build the Beis HaMikdash and to cut the Omer and bring the Omer and everything. So if so, let it be permitted at 12 noon. Why? Because by then, for sure, they brought the carbon. Okay, Dotanan, because it says in the Mishnah, Harachaikim, the people that are far away from Yerushalayim, and they don't know when they brought the carbon Eimer, when can they eat the new grain? So it says, Michatzei Sayyemu Lahalan. From midday already, Sunday at 12 o'clock, they were already allowed to eat the new grain. Why? Lefishayim Bezdin, Misatzlim, because Bezdin and the Kayanim don't make things late. So Gemara is asking a very simple question. Why should the whole day be Yosir, according to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? Maximum 12 o'clock, everybody should be allowed to eat the Omer. The new grain, I mean. Why? Because even at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when people didn't know when they brought the carbon, because they didn't live nearby, at midday, the assumption was, for sure, by then, Bezdin brought the carbon. Okay? So the question is, not that there's no Beis HaMikdash, what are you afraid? That Beis HaMikdash was built earlier, and they have to bring the carbon Eimer, and people think, okay, last year we ate it at 6 o'clock in the morning, so maybe this year we can also eat at 6 o'clock in the morning, even though they didn't bring the carbon. So the Gemara asked, but okay, at midday you should be able to eat it. Because by midday, for sure, they brought the carbon. So why did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai forbid the entire day that you can't eat the new grain? At 12 o'clock, the assumption is that they brought it. So the Gemara says, it was built on the 15th before Shkia. This Gemara sounds very easy, but it's very complicated. I mean, there's a lot of problems with this Gemara. We'll soon see. But the Gemara answers, it was built Shabbos right before Shkia. Meaning the 15th. No, that's not, no. No. It's Yom Tov. It was built the 15th. Now, or it was built by night. Now, if it was built by night, in order to bring the carbon Eimer, they had to cut the grain and get everything ready for the carbon and do everything. So they're not going to have enough time. So they won't be able to bring the carbon before midday. Meaning, under normal circumstances, when the Beis HaMikdash was existing, so everything was done with plenty of preparation, okay? And therefore, by midday, they for sure were able to bring the carbon. But we're afraid, maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built 15th at Shkia, and they won't have enough time to bring to get the carbon namer ready. So they won't be able to bring the carbon namer by 12 noon. It might be later in the afternoon. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, you know what? The whole day you can't eat it. Which is seemingly very far-fetched. Because what are the chances of the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt 15th, right before Shkia? Or the Gemara says, it was built by night. Okay? Or it was built by night. So the Mefarshim, they bring down over here, but it's a whole interesting concept. For number one, the Rambam Paskins, building the Beis HaMikdash does not push away Yom Tov. So you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. Number two, the Rambam says you don't build the Beis HaMikdash at night either. The halacha is you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash at night. And here the Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was built at night. So the Gemara says it was built on Yom Tov. Or it was built at night, right? Which l'cheir according to Allah, you're both not allowed to do. Okay. So you bring down Rashi's question. Rashi really asks the question, and Rashi says, "V'mtayma." Rashi says, "How could it be that it was built on the 15th, it was built in Yom Tov in the night, when it says, Ein binyan beis HaMikdash, le'yom tov le'balayla." Okay? So this is one of the famous, this is one of the Rashis that is the big source of the machlekes between Rashi and Rambam. Rashi answers that the third base of Megdash is going to be built by Hashem, and all the restrictions of not building on Yom Tov and not building at night only applies with the base of Megdash that people built. But Rashi says at the bottom of the page, it's going to fall down from heaven, and therefore if the Eibishter is going to build the base of Megdash, it's not going to be a problem, because it could be done at night, it could be done on Yom Tov, it could be done something. That's according to Rashi's opinion. But he brings on also, the Me'iri explains, so that he brings on over here, the Me'iri answers, according to the Rambam's opinion, that the Beis HaMikdash will be built by people. So he says, then you're not allowed to build it at night or on Yom Tov. So the Me'iri answers, it could be that people, the Bezdin will be so excited about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, they'll make a mistake, this is what the Me'iri answers, make a mistake, and they'll have built it at night also, or on Yom Tov, because of the great desire of building. There's another issue over here. If people build it, it's going to take longer than a few minutes. You know, which is another problem, because if they know they're building it already, that punk they're going to finish at Shkia, mainly you're going to say it's built in heaven, like Rashi learns, and it's coming down from heaven, straight into the world, so it can come down in a second. But if you're learning L'cheira, like the Rambam learns, that the third base of Mikdash is going to be built by people, so L'cheira, they should have planned. I mean, it's not going to take a half a day to build the base of Mikdash. It's going to take a chvez, how long? Right? So L'cheira, they couldn't work it out to finish in a way that, overtime or something. It's a difficulty to understand. But the Rebbe explains, there's many sikhs in the Rebbe, Haris in the Rebbe, explains that L'cheira, how can you have a machlekes and mitzias? Who is going to build the third base of Mikdash? Is Mashiach going to build it, like the Rambam says? Or is it, like Rashi says, B'dei Shemayim Hi? How does it work? So the Rebbe learns that both are right. The Rebbe quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra, that the Gemara says that if somebody builds a building and somebody else puts the finishing touches on the building, it's halachically considered in the Din of Chazaka that the one that finishes the building is considered as if they built the whole thing. Because they can do it similar to the concept of a mitzvah called Hashem Gemra. The one that finishes the mitzvah, it's considered as if they did the mitzvah. So the Rebbe learns that what's going to be is a Beis HaMikdash is built in Shemayim. And Mashiach is going to put the finishing touches on the building. So therefore, the Rambam says that Mashiach is going to build a building. But really, it's true. Both are right. It's built in heaven, and it's ready in B'day Shemayim, and it's coming down, and so on. And Mashiach will put finishing touches on the building, so it's considered as if he did it. Based on that, it also makes sense, this thing, because then the Beis HaMikdash will take a second. And it even go to the Mefashim, that hold the people are going to build it, but it's not a steer to the fact that it's ready and it's going to come down straight down from heaven. What?
The question is, what's the prohibition behind not building at night?
Because it says B'yayim in the Chumash. The Rambam learns it out from a pasuk. It says B'yayim, the day. So therefore, it had to be Dafka day. So the Gzeir
Sarkosov. The other question is the Bet HaMikdash supposed to be rebuilt where it is now? Or?
Yeah, for sure. That could be built somewhere else.
A little bit clearing out.
Huh?
Have to clear out a little bit.
No, it has the Beis HaMikdash comes down. It comes down with guns and that's shooting. Clear off.
They already cleared it out.
Clear this.
They're doing it.
Yeah. Get rid of the mosque over there.
The assumption that the korban is going to be brought for sure by noon.
Right.
Was there a deadline that they had to bring it by?
No. Technically, the carbon emer could be brought the whole day.
Yes.
Obviously, not before the morning carbon, and not after the afternoon carbon, because that was the last one and the first one. Okay, but technically, any time during the day, there's no time specification when the carbon emer had to be brought. The din was, the bezdin, because there were zelizim, zealous people, and when something had to be done, they did it right away, especially because people were going to eat the new grain. So they wanted to make sure nobody was going to do it in sin. So right away, as soon as they were able to, they brought it. The only thing the Gemara says over here, that's under normal circumstances. But if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, Shabbos, if Sunday is the 16th. Saturday, late afternoon, or Mitzvah Shabbos, so then Pagashmis, they won't be able to bring the carbon by day, because there was a lot of preparation that they do for it. Cutting it, and getting it, and, you know, so it took a lot of time. Okay, then the Gemara says, all the way at the bottom of the page, Amar Rav Nachum Yitzchok answers another answer to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai's thing. And he says, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda Amra. He goes according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amar Ad Etzem Ayem Azeh Ad Yetzom Esholyem. Rabbi Yehuda holds that when nowadays, it's interesting, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's biblically forbidden the whole day. In other words, there's a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, when can you biblically eat the Karban Emer? The Chachamim hold as soon as the day comes. As soon as the day comes, Sunday morning, 6 a.m., you're allowed to eat the new grain. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The Torah says ad etzem ayem ezem, meaning until the essence of the day is gone. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, biblically you can't eat it until the end of the day. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is right away going to ask, so then why did he make a takana? A takana means it's rabbinic. If it's biblically forbidden to eat the grain a whole day, why is the Mishnah using the expression hiskin Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai? So the Gemara says, the Amar Yozik Rabbi Yehuda that says ad etzem ayem azeh ad atzem shayem until the entire day is over. Because of and he holds that ad va'ad b'chlal until when you have in Torah you have this all over the place and it's a big machlek, it's many places in Shas. When the Torah says until, does it mean until it starts or until it's over? I'll give you an example. Somebody makes a vow. They won't eat bread until Adar. Yeah? Until Adar means until the beginning of Adar or until the end of Adar. When you say until Adar, does it mean ad vulayad b'chlal, meaning until and that's it? Or does it include Adar also? So Rabbi Yehuda holds, when it says in the Torah, ad etzem ayem azeh, he holds it means until the end of the day. Ad v'ad b'chlal. Until the day and until the end of the day. So Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda that is biblically forbidden. Okay? Rashi in Sukkah asks a very, it's a funny expression. Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai was a few generations before Rabbi Yehuda. Yet the Gemara's expression is Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara doesn't mean he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda didn't see Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai lived 3-4 generations before. Mm-hmm. The answer is, he means what Rabbi Yehuda said, not Rabbi Yehuda as a person, but he holds what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was. But the Gemara asks, how could you say that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda from Miflik Polik when they clearly argue? You tell me Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda that the whole day is biblically forbidden, but Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai argues on Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because we learned in the Mishnah, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, it says, that here's going to be Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said that Sheyayim Anaf Kuli Osir, that the whole day is forbidden. Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, Alei Minateira Hu Osir, biblically it's forbidden. There's a Mishnah, it's Mishnah's a Menachas. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the 16th is forbidden. He made a takana, which means rabbinic. So Rabbi Yehuda turns to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, obviously not to him because he didn't see him, and he said, it's biblically forbidden. Right? Which means that they're arguing. So how can you tell me here that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that the whole day is biblically forbidden, when the Mishnah clearly says that they argue? So the Gemara says, no. Ha'asim Rabbi Yehuda de Kutoi. Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake with Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai held. Meaning, he thought Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai meant it's only rabbinically forbidden. So Rabbi Yehuda says to him, what are you talking about? It's biblically forbidden. The truth is, that's what Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai really held. That is biblically forbidden. And therefore, v'loi, it's not true, because Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai midaraisikom held it's also min ha-Torah. That means Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai taka holds, it's biblically forbidden. And this answers the previous Gemara's question. The previous Gemara asked, why did Rabbi Yechon Zakkai make a takana rabbinically that the whole day is forbidden? So Gemara said, because next year the Beis HaMikdash might be built. About the whole thing, so rabbinically they're afraid. The second answer is the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yechon Zakkai holds like Rabbi Huda that is biblically forbidden. Because that's what the Torah says. Ad etzem ayem azeh doesn't mean until the day starts. It means until the day ends. So really Rabbi Yechon Zakkai holds is biblically forbidden. So it's not a takana that he made because maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built. It's biblically forbidden. But the Gemara asked for his kinktani. But it said Rabbi Yechon Zakkai made a takana and he instituted it. By definition means it's only midrabanan. So the Gemara answers, no. My hiskin, what it means hiskin, dorish vihiskin. He expounded in the concept and made a takana, but it's biblical. So there's two opinions in the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yechon Zakkai, Bizman Azeh, is the whole day biblically forbidden? Or is it rabbinically forbidden? According to the first answer of the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon Zakkai made a takana, it's rabbinically forbidden. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt in the whole thing. And the second answer to the Gemara is that it's biblically forbidden. The whole day. Okay. Next Mishnah is also a very interesting Mishnah. Berishayna, initially, this is even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash initially. Hayimikablam Eidus HaChedesh Kol Hayim. When the witnesses came to testify that they saw the moon, this is going back to the Rosh Hashanah Gemara, that when the witnesses came a whole day to say that they saw the moon, so they accepted the testimony of the witnesses the entire day. Which means, let's say they saw the moon Sunday night, so Monday they came to Beis Din to testify that they saw the moon. So Beis Din accepted the witnesses the entire day. That means, if, let's say sundown was 6 o'clock. If the witnesses came 5:30 in the afternoon, to testify that they saw the moon the night before, Beis Din made Monday Rosh Chodesh. Beis Din made Monday Rosh Chodesh. Even though it was already only half an hour left to the day, Beis Din accepted the testimony of the witnesses a whole day. But now the Gemara says, what happens? Pamachas, one time, Nishto Edom Elovi. The Edom came very late. And what happened was it was Rosh Hashanah. Now, in Rosh Hashanah, they had a different Avaida, even the Levium with the singing, sang different songs on Yom Tif than they did on a regular day. So the Levium were waiting for the witnesses to come, because over there was a big difference, because if the witnesses came, that day became Rosh Hashanah, right? If not, it was a weekday, and the next day became Rosh Hashanah, right? Because it could be one or two days. So what happens? It was like late in the afternoon already, and the Levium said, okay, the guys are not coming. So they started doing the weekday Avaida, the weekday singing. And then what happens? All of a sudden the witnesses popped in. That means that day retroactively became Rosh Hashanah. So it became a whole messed up thing. So here's kin, they made a takana. Shli mekavlim elo adam mincha. So Beis Din in that day made a takana that they only can accept the witnesses until mincha time. Okay? Meaning until the carbon tumid was brought. What happens if the witnesses came later? No, two things. The rest of the day would be holy, because after all it was Rosh Hashanah. And Ulamachar Kedish. And the next day would be holy, Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara is going to explain how the Chacham have a koyach just to change days around. The Gemara learns out from a puzzle. Chacham could do whatever they want with regard to this. So the Gemara tells a story. The day them, let's say, for argument's sake, came 5:30. And let's say, for argument's sake, Mincha was 3:30. Mincha time when they brought the carbon tamid. Okay? It was the time they brought the carbon tamid. Was 9.5 hours into the day. So make it easy. The day is from 6 to 6. Just to make a simple day. So 3:30 in the afternoon, they brought the carbon tamid. Then the Levium said they're not coming. They started singing a week. They sheared. Right? Then they realized, hey, it's Yom Tif, and the guys messed up the whole thing. So the Chum made a takana in the time of the Beis HaMikdash that if they didn't come after 3:30, until 3:30, they say, okay, the day is holy. That's it. If they come 4 o'clock, They made a takana, okay, from 4 to 6 is still Yom Tov, but the real Rosh Hashanah is the next day. That means they didn't do malacha, they didn't do things, but the real avaida of Rosh Hashanah became the next day. That was in the time of the Beis Hamikdash when things could get messed up. Right?
They didn't do malacha only from like 4 o'clock.
Right, because otherwise they didn't know. Sometimes they were machmir that they, if they were thought the witnesses might come, they didn't do malacha all day. But that's not relevant to this. But now that the Bechman, now we shechar the Beis Hamikdash, now that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so lechair, there's no difference of kabbalas anymore. Here's can Rabbi Yechman Zakei that they were mekabel edus achedus kol hayom, that they accepted the witnesses the whole day, because now there's no problem. There's no problem anymore with the kabbalas, because there are no kabbalas.
Was it a carbon, or you said the singing?
Well, everything. They had to bring a yom tov carbon too. No, they brought a special carbon mutzif on that day. They brought, anyway, the carbon shachris in Mincha, they brought 365 days a year. Or
355.
No.
Oh, smicha was only for private korbanah?
Smicha?
Yeah.
When you put the hand on it? No, all the korbanahs. Why? Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara said, "Mao kilkulu." So now the Gemara asks, "What does it mean that kilkul alaviyim? What does it mean that they made a mess of the song?" So hachem bavol tigmi. They learned shli amru shira kolikut. They didn't sing shira at all, meaning they didn't know if it would be a weekday or the Rosh Hashanah song. So they didn't do any song. So that was the mess up that they did. Reb Zeira Amar, Shamashir Shechel, Im Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. Reb Zeira learns, no, that they said the weekday song, not that they didn't say any. So the Gemara asks, it says basically the Levi messed up. It wasn't their fault, but they messed up. So the question, what did they mess up? So one opinion said they didn't say any Shira. Why? Because they didn't know what to say. If you don't know what to say, you be quiet. And the second opinion says, no, they sang the wrong one. So he says, Amalei Rab Zeira said, La'ava b'nei ta'ava's son. He said, Puk tanelahu, go teach the people from Bavel. Rab Zeira lived in Bavel. Well, even though here it's called Rabbi Zeira, because there could be by now he went to Eretz Yisrael already. But Rab Zeira told his son Ava, he had a son Ava, and he said to him, go teach the rabbis in Bavel the right thing. Like he said that they sang the weekday one. Why? Because it says, Hiskinush they mekabim Eidus HaChedush. They made a takana not to receive the Eidus HaChedush all day. Ela, Kadei sheyeshos b'yam, that they should have enough day. Lahakrib tamidim umusafim v'niskeim, to bring the carbon tamid, and the carbon busif, the additional carbons, and the borings. To sing shira, shalei b'shibush, without a mistake. So the Braise says, what the Braise explains, what does it mean they accepted the witnesses? That they should be able to bring the korbanos properly and the songs properly. So he says, if you can tell me what their problem was, the mess up was, that they sang the weekday shir, that's the mistake. Because when you make a mistake, it means when you do something wrong. If you don't do something, you can't say you made a mistake, you just didn't do it. You know, making a mistake means you actively did something wrong. If I don't do anything, I didn't make a mistake, I just didn't do it. So the Abzeira says, the Braisa says that they blundered and made a mistake. So if you tell me that they sang, like the Abzeira says, they sang the weekday sheared, that's a mistake, because they were supposed to sing the Yomtiv sheared. But according to the people from Bavel, that they didn't do anything. So why do you say they made a mistake? They didn't make a mistake, they just didn't do anything. Eli Amit Amit Klal, but if you're going to say they didn't say it all, Mashi Bashik, what type of mistake is there? They didn't make a mistake, they just didn't do anything. So the Gemara says, the kidam of Amr Klal. The Gemara says, the Gemara really learns a different shot of blunder. If you don't do what you have to do, there's no bigger blunder than that. It's interesting. That means the Gemara's expression basically is saying, not doing what you have to do is worse than doing something wrong. That's what the Gemara's answer is. Because the Gemara's answer is, there's no greater blunder than not doing what you have to do. Which is even worse, seemingly the Gemara says, which is even worse than the other way. So here in the English, he just says the term blunder can apply even to an error in the activity. But that really, the Gemara is saying much more than that. The Gemara is saying, the Gemara is not saying it's also a shibush if you don't do anything. The Gemara says, "Ein lach shibush gadol mizeh." There's no bigger blunder than that, which means it's worse. There's a logic behind it. What?
You didn't even learn that if you make mistakes, it's worse than not a mistake. Didn't you learn?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. But the Gemara over here is saying that not, if you do something, at least you're actively involved. You're doing things, you know. You may be doing the wrong thing, but at least you're doing something. You're moving. You're sleeping is worse. It's like we mentioned many times, the difference between the 60s, which is before most of you guys were around, the difference between the 60s and the 80s and the 90s. In the 60s,
at least they were doing something.
They were doing something. And as if you had a tefillin table on campus, you know, to put on tefillin people, they would come to fight you. No tefillin, you know, they rebel. You said day, they said night. They said night, you said, you know, whatever. They would fight you. But at least there was a connection between you. You at least you had an association. You had a discussion. So those guys that talked to you, fought you, you're able to win them over and to show that tefillin was good. In the 80s, you have a tefillin, you know, there's such apathy, they don't care. You want to put the film. You know what? It's all the same thing. Nobody cares about anything. So those people you can't even connect to because they're not connecting. If you fight with somebody, there's a strong connection. Mm-hmm. At least there's a connection. The problem is when there's no fighting, there's no connection.